Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Join us in our advanced class for the last day of an article that talks about a unique school and a beautiful place in the world. Thanks for joining us, everyone, into our last day of this article. You know, we're talking about education, and this is education of boat building school, but I think we're also getting an education of all the nature and beauty that goes around the boat building school.
Well, it's a fascinating school, you know, as far as the concept, people being able to go there even for short periods of time on a vacation. But the beautiful part, Doris, is that this is in such a nice area in the northwestern part of the United States that it's so scenic, you could really enjoy your time there. You won't even feel like you're in school.
Well, Bill, I'm glad that you enjoy it because you're actually from Philadelphia.
I'm from Pittsburgh. But I had a very good friend of mine lived in Seattle, so I've actually been to Seattle about 10 times. Hmm. And I've actually boated around the Puget Sound area, and I've also traveled over on the Olympic Peninsula a few times and been around this area, Port Hadleck and Port Townsend. So I love it. I'd like to live there, actually. That's how beautiful it is.
Yeah, well, some of our teachers, Paul Kulinski, who used to teach with us, he lived right up there in that area.
It's very
and,
nice area.
You know, a lot of people love that area. And then, of course, we have Lois here, who's from just across the border. She goes up to Canada quite a bit, and she's been up in Vancouver. Don't you have a place in Vancouver?
Well, Vancouver Islands. So I'm one who likes those different islands and the islands around that part of Canada, also south, so you enter into the United States. And it's just a beautiful area to go exploring. But then if you want a nice big city that's on an island, you can go to Victoria.
Well, or you can go to Port Townsend. You can go to, you know, Port Angeles. There's so many places, and you can just look across and see Canada.
That's right.
Actually, isn't that right?
That's
well, Campbell,
true.
You know, Campbell is from the East Coast, and, but Campbell, doesn't this make you think the West Coast is also interesting, though?
Yes, very much. I am from the East Coast, and I haven't actually been up to the Northwest, but now I really want to take a trip up there.
That's right. Don't go to Los Angeles every time. Go north.
That's right.
Although his wife is from Los Angeles, so no wonder he wants
That's
to go
right,
there.
But
you know, I think your little girl would like it up
here. I think she would love it.
Yeah.
She'd love the birds and the ducks.
So it might be a nice place, but it's education article, but it's also vacation time in August.
Well, I know Campbell's wife would particularly enjoy the Big Pig thrift store that we read about yesterday. That sounds
Bill,
like Linda's kind of place.
Yeah. I think that Campbell and Bill would enjoy Zug's caveman cooking.
Where we go after we go to the Big Pig thrift store. We head on over to Zug's and get a big steak.
Interesting places and interesting names. It shows the culture there.
Yep.
You know, I think this sounds like a place that used to have a lot of people that were doing in lumber and timber industry. Up there. Mm-hmm. Sounds like the kind of place these lumbermen would like to
right.
go.
Right. Now you find this area, Doris, is so full of creative people. That's
artistic.
What I find that when I go there, creative and artistic people. And you really can learn something new all the time in this area of North America.
You're making everybody want to go on their vacation. So let's look over this article and get the education and vacation part together. And what page are we on today?
We'll be on page 12. And we're going to start. We'll actually have two readings here today, Doris. And first reading will be that left column, Scenic Tranquility. Scenic Tranquility. Along the snowberry-lined Portage Trail, I stumbled upon a lagoon with more than 100 flapping northern pintails, named for their sharp-as-a-quill-pen tail feather, mixed with buffleheads, whose bulbous white-patched heads made each appear as if it was wearing a marshmallow bonnet. From Lagoon Beach, you might launch a kayak and explore the protected waters, or set off to poke into the paddler's haven of hidden, lake-like Mats Bay, 4.5 miles to the south. Find more paddling opportunities on long, eel-shaped Killisut Harbor between Indian Island and neighboring Maristone Island. At the head of Mystery Bay on Marrowstone's western shore, Island Life centers on almost century-old Nordland General Store, with its postage stamp of a post office, well-trodden wood floors, good wine selection, and kayaks for rent in warmer months. Classic sailboats rock on mooring balls just off the dock. Want excitement? Storekeeper Tom Rose will tell you to come back Memorial Day weekend for the tractor parade.
Well, scenic tranquility, what does that actually mean?
Scenic tranquility, it means you've got something beautiful to look at, and it's very calming and restful, and you just feel relaxed.
Well, you know, Lois, here on, it's turning here on page 12, what it says, along the Snowberry Line Portage Trail. Now, Snowberry Line, what are snowberries anyway?
Well, I think you're the expert on this, Doris. You know this part of the country.
Well, there's so many berries. You know, we think about raspberries, and here everybody in Asia knows strawberries. Everything is strawberry. Strawberry jam, strawberry ice cream. But there's so many berries. There's raspberries, blackberries, blueberries, huckleberries.
Gooseberries.
And you know who's the expert on berries? Bears. Bears love berries. They don't go around eating people, you know that. Bears love berries, don't they?
They sure do. And you certainly see them in this part of the country. And it's not hard to find them even when you're driving your car and all of a sudden they're out there in the middle of the road or right at the side of the road. I find when I'm up in British Columbia eating the blackberries.
Yeah, you see them there eating the berries. It's kind of fun, you know?
Yeah, it's great walking along these trails. You can just pick berries off of the plants. And I like this next line, line 9. The writer says, I stumbled upon a lagoon with more than 100 flapping northern pintails. Now, normally when we say stumbled, we mean that we actually maybe trip over something.
Almost
fall
down.
Right. But in this case, we
surprised
ourselves.
Stumbled
means, right, by accident I came upon something.
Now, these lagoons, of course, are very nice because there's fish, there's birds and everything. And they want to get the idea that of the, we said, bird watchers, there's people that watch birds as well as those that like to hike. And you see a picture here of these northern pintails. They almost look like ducks, don't they? They remind me of Canadian geese.
Yes, Doris, I can see why they would. And they're called northern pintails, and it looks like they're birds of a feather that flock together, Doris.
But one thing they have that the Canadian geese don't have, because the geese, you know, you see them all over the place, and that you see them landing on the fields and eating the grain and so forth. But these have a pin tail.
That's right. It says that they're named for their sharp as a quill pen tail feather, which just means their tails are very sharp.
What's a quill pen?
Well, that's the old style writing utensil that people used maybe 200 years ago. They would have to dip it into ink, and it just had a very sharp point on it for then writing with that ink that you dipped.
Uh-huh. And their tails are sharp like that. It's almost like, you know, you could use them to write like a Chinese brush, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah, they're quite cool to look at, Doris.
And you can see by this photo here, you can see the sharp pintail. That's different than the geese, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's a different look, and the birds look just a bit smaller, too.
And so when he saw them, he looked there and he saw these, and I guess he probably knew what they were. He's a bird watcher, maybe, the northern pintails, but they also saw buffleheads. Now, don't call people buffleheads, Bill. Might not, you know, are you a bufflehead, Bill?
No, I'm not a bufflehead.
But what is a bufflehead? Have you ever heard of a bufflehead before?
Don't call me
what
a
is a bufflehead anyway?
Well, we actually see a bufflehead picture there on page 12 over on the right. There's a cute little bird, and we describe it as the bufflehead has this bulbous, white-patched head. And it makes it appear as if it was wearing a marshmallow bonnet. So first, now, as far as bulbous, what that means is that it is big, just fat and round.
You know, that was the first fat head, people get called fat head. Maybe that was the first one.
Some people that have a great big red nose, they call it, they have a bulbous nose. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah,
yes.
I have. Yeah, I
yes,
have
I have heard
bulbous
that.
Nose.
Big round nose.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm. Yeah.
So I like how he describes this as they have these white patched heads, which make it appear as if they're wearing a marshmallow bonnet.
And what's a bonnet?
A bonnet is just a hat that ladies wear, and we see a picture. It does look like it's wearing this marshmallow hat on
its head. I think a baby bonnet suit. Don't baby bonnets often have ties?
They still have
them,
yes, and they still have ties, and they usually have a little peak to protect the baby's eyes.
Baby bonnets, right. But they're kind of interesting things. There's so many kinds of ducks and geese and so forth, and you see the mallard ducks, and but here you see these beautiful buffalo heads, and they are beautiful, but they do have kind of a big head, don't they?
They do. It actually looks like it's a little bit like blown up, like there's some kind of air inserted and they pump it up. That's what it looks like to me.
But wouldn't you be excited if you saw a whole lot of them all of a sudden?
I sure would.
Get your camera out.
I kind of like bird watching a bit.
I think so. And from Lagoon Beach, you might see something else.
Right. You might launch a kayak and explore the protected waters. And we had talked about doing some kayaking all around this area. So it's great to get in
water. What about the protected waters? What do you think that means? No shooting?
I think maybe no fishing.
Mm-hmm. And
certainly
no hunting
no,
either.
No fishing and no
hunting.
No
killing the ducks.
Yeah. No killing the ducks.
You know, some of my friends, from our mountain areas, we go up there and that, they say, oh, boy, yummy, that looks like a good meal. I said, no, we don't kill them. This is a protected area, because you feel like, haochi, they look good. But they're not supposed to be there protected, so don't start thinking of taking them home and having dinner with them. Okay?
Or don't even make them pets, folks. They are supposed to stay in their environment.
That's right, but they are beautiful. That's why they're there, because they're protected, right?
Well, there's a reason these species are protected. They want to maintain the population of the species, and it's whether it's birds or even certain fish or other animals in the area. When I went crabbing up there, for instance, Doris, with my friend, the crabs had to be over a certain size, or we had to throw them back.
That's
so we might have pulled up a crab basket, and there were 20 crabs in it, but like none of them were big enough, so we had to throw them all
in. Or if they're female, they usually make you throw them back in too. So.
Yeah, and so that's kind of it's for the interest of everybody to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Then you might go, down there, and you see if you look down here at Matt's Bay. If you look on the map on the page 10, you'll see where that is. It's 4.5 miles to the south. That's not very far down. So you might go into this place that people love to go there, at Paddler's Haven. People love to go in these canoes and kayaks.
That's right.
They might go down there. Doesn't that sound like a nice place, too?
It sure does. In fact, you're tempting me, Doris. I think Michael and I will have to plan a trip in this area. I'd like to do some canoeing down here.
Take your own boat down there?
That's right. Take our own boat down there.
Well, you could find, more paddling opportunities on this long eel-shaped Kielset Harbor. There's another place. So many different places.
Mm-hmm.
Eel-shaped, like an eel. That's kind of like a
long and skinny. Yeah. Right. So we're talking about a long, skinny fish. In Chinese, we say mai yu.
Well, okay. If you look at the map, everybody, they're on page 10. And where we're talking about is you can see Indian Island. And then to the right of Indian Island, that is going to be Marrowstone Island. And in between, that is that long eel-shaped Kielset Harbor between the two islands.
Well, there's an awful lot of names here. You won't be able to remember them all. So take your magazine with you when you go there so you know all of those
Good
places.
Idea.
Some people do that.
I think it's a great idea, especially for a place with lots of names and lots of places to visit.
So what about at the head of Mystery Bay on this western shore, what happens there?
Well, at the head of Mystery Bay on Marrowstone's western shore, island life centers on almost century-old Nordland General Store. So century-old means that it's 100 years old or more. It's an old store there.
We seem to have a lot of general stores in this part of the country too, Doris.
Well, yeah, because they don't have that many stores. And inside this store, you got a post office, and wine and everything else in there. The post office is so small, they call it a postage stamp of a post office. It's so small, it's like a stamp, right?
Yeah, that's a great way of describing places, we'll say. It's like a postage stamp, meaning very small. That's just one small thing inside this general store, and I like the way the writer describes this place.
Mm-hmm. Right, and you always see those in movies a lot, don't you, in the old Western movies?
Yeah, the tiny, you know, one window thing, and there's like even bars at the in front of the window where the guy's talking to you between them.
And it's nice for our readers to know that you can rent kayaks there. You don't have to bring your own kayak.
Yeah,
there's a general store there.
You better do that.
Let's go rent it. Maybe they can give me some pointers, and let's have a good day.
Well, this well-trodden wood floors means in those days people build a lot of things with wood. And, of course, after the it's worn down after 100 years, but the wood floor is still standing there.
Sure is.
You
it's
don't
nice
have
and
to
smooth
change it,
now.
Right? That's good. Yeah. So that would kind of give you a feeling of history, wouldn't it?
Right. And it takes you back in time. And then if you actually go outside then, further journey back in time, you'll see classic sailboats rocking on mooring balls just off the dock. Give you a feel for the area.
Mooring.
Yeah, now if this sounds too idyllic, too peaceful for you, you want some more excitement, well, storekeeper Tom Rose will tell you to come back Memorial Day weekend for the tractor parade.
I never heard of a tractor parade. It doesn't even sound exciting to me. What do you think it's like?
Oh, I kind of thought that was more in the Midwest, but here I'm surprised it's in this part of the country too. So I would imagine we have these big, heavy tractors, maybe some smaller ones, and they're going to welcome you to their Memorial Day weekend into their town.
I think I'd rather go to a horse rodeo or something than a tractor parade. What about you, Bill?
Well, this is kind of funny. And for people visiting America, this will give you a real taste of Americana.
I guess
all the farmers in the area, what they do is, of course, they've got these tractors that they use to work their farms. But this tractor parade is their opportunity to show off their John Deere equipment and other things, International Harvester tractors. And it is just beautiful seeing these machines
go through the
rumble
street,
down
right?
the street. Yeah. And their big tires. And
okay.
Yeah, it's glorious.
Well, that might be fun.
They'll have
guess.
Them all cleaned up and shiny and maybe some decorations on them.
I guess they don't have too much excitement there. So if you want some excitement, you'll do that. Well, let's go on and finish this one and find out about the homegrown delights.
Homegrown delights. South of Port Hadlock, the Chimicum Valley is a growing haven of organic farms, some with their own stands, guarded by visiting posses of trumpeter swans. Or stop by Chimicum Corner Farm Stand at the four-way stop on Highway 19, with local foods from around the region. Up Center Road, Finn River Farm and Cidery is open for tastings from noon to 5 p.m. daily. To warm up the first days of spring, they party with cider and pizza, co-owner Christy Kistler said. If that's not enough, Port Townsend is 20 minutes up the road, with more classic boats and saltwater views. After all this, have you caught a bad case of boat envy? Better sign up for a workshop.
Well, this writer certainly makes this place sound tempting, doesn't it, Campbell?
Yeah, it makes me want to go, and I've never been there.
Even for from someone from the East Coast, they might want to visit the West Coast. America's a big country, right?
Oh, yes, and you know, we don't see enough of all of North America, and it really is so huge, Doris.
Mm-hmm. That's true, and people usually say, well, I went to New York, I went to Los Angeles. Hey, go to some of these hideaway places to find the real Americans, right?
That's right, and to find the real, I don't know, the people that want to bring you into their homes or just really welcome you to their area and show it off.
Homegrown delights.
Well, it's very easy for our visitors from Asia to get to this place, Doris, much easier than they may realize. You can fly to Seattle, and actually, right from Seattle, you can take a ferry across Puget Sound over to these areas, Port Townsend, Port Hadlock, and, I mean, that's going to take you maybe 40 minutes on the ferry, so it's actually quite easy to get there.
Maybe a little longer up
and
there.
And you can go back in time. It's another world.
Mm-hmm. Mm. But it is fun, though. And the ferries are fun, too. See the seagulls. And you might happen to see some of these great big whales, killer whales.
Yeah. Plus, you know, I know when you're from Asia, food enters the discussion always. You can get, as Doris knows, great seafood chowder in this part of the world, great fish and chips in this part of the world, and don't forget about the coffee in this part of the world.
And the crab. Oh, all kinds of the fish, all that's good. But the homegrown delights here, it says this place, and you notice these names, Chimacum Valley and all these things. They even have organic farms, and they have stands along the road and so forth. And it's kind of interesting, how come the stands are guarded here?
Well, it's funny how they describe this. The stands, which is actually where the farmers are going to be selling their products down by the road, they're guarded by posses of trumpeter swans. So normally we think of places being guarded by, you know, security guys, some big, rough, tough bouncers or something like that, guys. But who are they guarded by?
They're guarded by trumpeter swans or dogs. Sometimes we think about dogs guarding things.
Yeah,
right?
But you know, they don't really guard it. They're just beautiful. They happen to live there, and they're around the farms, aren't they?
Exactly. And, you know, I actually always think of swans. Now, this is kind of funny because a trumpet actually welcomes you or brings you to attention or whatever. But swans actually kind of seem like they're welcoming you, even when they're in their flock or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Majestic.
Yeah, I certainly had that experience earlier this year with all the swans in England, and it always felt like they were kind of like this little welcoming party.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's true. That would be fun to see that. If you stop at this Chicacum Corner, which is a very much of a local Indian name, at this farm stand, at a four-way stop, there's a lot of those places on the highway, no stoplights, says stop, all the cars stop and look, and here's this big stand, and you can find all this food and these beautiful swans there. Wouldn't that be fun?
Oh, sounds great.
It's
really
on what, Highway 19?
Highway 19, that's
so
right.
So be sure and take Highway 19, Bill, when you're driving up
there.
Well,
yeah, the roads are great. They're these winding two-lane roads that go all along the peninsula there. And it's not only the villages, but I love the forest and the trees as you're driving along.
The trees are
just stunning.
They really are. Mm-hmm. And then you can stop by at noon and you can eat at one of these farm places or a place where they have cider, apple cider, cidery. You can taste it from noon to 5. Go in and taste it. Mm. Instead of wine tasting, they have apple cider tasting.
Well, cider and pizza, that sounds great to me. I'm ready to go right now.
Yeah. You could have a party there with that. And if that's not enough, then you can go 20 miles or 20 minutes up the road, not very far, to Port Townsend. And what do you find there?
You see saltwater views and classic boats.
Right.
So I feel like we've come full circle here, right? We started this lesson talking about boat building and boats, and then we went into talking about some of the views and the scenery and the food, and now we're back to the boats.
That's right. And after all this, maybe you think, wow, I wish I could see more about these boats. Then what should you do?
Well, after all, if you have caught a bad case of boat envy, you better sign up for a workshop.
So we have a skit about that now.
Yeah, in fact, in our feature today, we do head off to the Northwest School of Wooden Boat Building for a conversation between one of their teachers and students.
So, Rick, what are you going to do during summer vacation?
Something very different, Kathy. I'm going to school.
But summer vacation is supposed to be a diversion from school. Don't you need a break from studying?
The school I will be attending is quite different from our university. I'll be spending 3 weeks at the Northwest School of Wooden Boat Building in Port Townsend.
Oh, I've heard of that. It's right across Puget Sound. That's where people go to enhance their nautical skills.
Right. Well, specifically enhance their skills at building and maintaining wooden boats.
I've known some people who spent some time there. It's a fixture here in the Seattle area and known around the world for the skills they train people on.
My family has always been marine-oriented, and we have two boats. So I want to learn how to varnish hulls and replace planks that are damaged.
Ah, so now I know why you're always talking about sailing and fishing.
Yes, it's part of my family's heritage since we live on the coast near Everett.
So, where will you be staying during your 3-week course?
That's the best part. My friend Jack and I will camp at Fort Townsend State Park. We're going to set up a tent right near the beach.
Well, that sounds like a sensory dream. Quietly enjoying the sounds of the ocean waves and the wind rustling through the trees.
Yes, it exemplifies the term education vacation. We'll learn some new skills and have plenty of relaxation.
I must say, Rick, your plan is excellent.
Thanks, Kathy. Well, I gotta run now. See you later.
Okay, Rick. Have fun in Port Townsend.
Hello, everybody, and thanks for listening to Advanced. If you have any questions about today's program or any previous program, just go to our website, www.studioclassroom.com, and you have a couple of options available. First, you can join a discussion with other Advanced listeners by going to the eCorner. It's a great way to meet some other members of our audience, leave comments, and give us your ideas for the show. If you want to write a note to the Advanced team or have a question, just go to letters@studioclassroom.com and we'll do our best to help out. We always look forward to hearing from you, our listeners and readers, and we appreciate your input.
Well, I think it's time to get on your way to buy your ticket to head off for this place.
Oh, I'm ready to go if you are, Doris.
It sounds like a great place. And thanks for being with us and learning more about this unique part of the world.
Yeah, I definitely want to go there sometime.
Yeah, and I recommend it for all of our listeners. Very easy to get to.
So thanks for being with us. We'll see you for a new lesson tomorrow. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.